Okay, hello everybody, and welcome this evening to Matrix Radio Live. I'm your host, Martin Siegel. Sorry for the little bit of a delay there getting the show started this evening. We are broadcasting this evening from Mooresville, North Carolina, Race City. So if any of you are NASCAR fans out there, this is the place for you to be. We're just surrounded by all the NASCAR giants here in Mooresville. So it's a little town out in the middle of nowhere, but we've got a bunch of heavy hitters here around us that keep us motivated to to strive for the higher calling of God. So anyway, this evening what I wanted to do was just kind of back up a little bit and give you a little bit more information about Matrix Ministries, tell you a little bit more about what we do and what we're trying to achieve, not only with the radio show here, but as well as our ministry. I'm going to go and talk a little bit about our website. We have a great website set up. It's the address is www.matrixministries.com. That's matrixministries.com. It's M-A-T-R-I-X, matrixministries.com. And basically, the reason that we named it the Matrix Ministries is that, we're trying to minister to uninformed people, and there's a veil that's been pulled over everybody's eyes, and a lot of people have trouble seeing the truth, the truth not only in the church and in what God is revealing to people, but also truth in our everyday lives, things that are going on in our everyday world, in our economy, with our government, a lot of the different areas, of everyday life. So we decided to call our ministry The Matrix, just to correlate with the Matrix movie that everybody has probably seen and has become so popular over the years. Because I think that is the epitome of what has happened in the world today, and really shows what's going on. So that's just a little bit about why we decided to call our ministry Matrix, just to inform you so you aren't wondering what we're all about there. Anyway, it's good to be back this week. If I sound a little rough on the radio this evening, I did have a terrible respiratory infection last week and was not able to go on the air. I'm feeling a lot better today. Things are going much better with that. My throat has cleared up. My chest is still a little bit sore, but I'll be able to make it through the show this evening with no problem. So just bear with me if you happen to notice me cough or need a drink of water or something like that. You'll understand and know why. So anyway, our website, let's talk about that for a minute. This website that we set up, if you go to matrixministries.com, on the first page, you'll notice a little saying there between Morpheus and Neo, just from the Matrix movie and what they're talking about a little bit there about, basically being a slave and being born into bondage, and being inside of a prison that, you can't smell or taste or touch. And that's what most of us are in today, I believe, myself included. I don't claim to know everything or to have the market cornered on truth. That's for sure. But I just strive to inform people of the truth that God has revealed to me, and also what I see going on around me. That sometimes people that I talk to just they don't see it. So that's a little bit of about what I'm about there. Now, if you look at our website, one of the main things you'll notice on the first page is, I've got a little flashing icon there about a online gun auction, and a lot of people, they question, well, hey, what's a pastor got that on his website for? What's that all about? Don't you believe in the Ten Commandments? Isn't one of the commandments something about thou shalt not kill? Well, I've been a American patriot for my entire life, and I was raised with the belief that people have the God-given right to defend themselves. Now, if you study the Ten Commandments and you actually go back and look at the original Hebrew text for the commandment that says, thou shalt not kill, it actually says, thou shalt not murder. And, you know, there's a big difference between murder and kill. Murder basically means that you have a premeditated disposition to go out and do bodily harm to another individual, where, you know, kill is a much broader word. You know, the word kill can actually mean self-defense, and that's typically the way I look at it. I feel that it's every American citizen's not only their right, but it is their duty, their social responsibility to be armed. I feel that you should be armed for many reasons. First of all, if you look at people that, you know, in areas where people carry guns and are well armed, statistically, crime rates are a lot lower because criminals tend to understand that people that are armed are not easy targets. They can't be picked off easy or robbed or attacked easily. So it helps lower the crime rate. Also, if you're if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're armed, you know, there's always that opportunity that you may have to stop a crime that is in action. You know, if you happen to be at a location where a crime is being committed and you're armed, you know, I think it's always good for somebody to be armed that can put a stop to the crime that's going on. I mean, look at some of these things that have happened recently, like this attack at Virginia Tech. You know, these attacks that we see all over the country, Columbine, things going on in restaurants where people walk in and just start spraying the place, you know, with bullets. You know, once you dig into and find out a little bit more about some of these people that have done these things and have been arrested, you know, you find out that a lot of these people are actually MK Ultra contestants that have actually been set up and brainwashed to do these types of things, but I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a pretty deep subject. But just, you know, understand that a lot of the people that are doing these things have been put in place to do so. Now, we have what's called, you know, gun-free zones, like schools, where, you know, people are not allowed to carry weapons at the school. But I was reading a story the other day about a the head of one of the school systems out in Texas, who has now, he's come forward and he has made it mandatory that all his teachers in the school, everybody that works for him, has to be armed. They have to keep a gun in the classrooms, and this is just to protect the students. Of course, the gun is locked up. It's just not laying out on top of the desk where anybody can grab it, but it's in a spot where the teachers have fairly immediate access to the firearm. And if there's ever a situation that happens where one of these nutcases is walking through the school trying to murder everybody, then they can defend themselves. And I totally agree with that. I think that, you know, self-defense is your God-given right. You know, talking about the Ten Commandments and the, you know, thou shalt not kill commandments, you know, if you read the scriptures, you'll see, you know, all through the Bible where God himself has killed many people. I mean, you know, it's not something that is uncommon to God. I mean, you know, he killed the king that stole his glory, dropped him dead on the spot. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they faced the same misery as well. I mean, you know, God's not afraid of killing people. He's never had a problem with that. So when you look at the commandments, you have to understand, you know, where they're coming from. So, you know, God killing people, people killing people. As long as it's in self-defense, then it's validated. But if you are just out there killing people, attacking people, if you have militaries that are attacking other countries unprovoked, killing innocent innocent citizens like have been going on with our country recently. I don't believe that that is, justifiable. I mean, I think that does fall under the commandment that thou shalt not murder. So anyway, looking in, just to let you know, where I come from on an armed and, standpoint of firearms, I keep myself very well armed. My house, is not gonna be an easy target for any criminal to break into. And I will teach my children as well to handle firearms and to keep themselves armed once they get old enough to understand what it's all about. And my wife, feels the same way. She is probably a better shot with the guns than I am. So, if you're thinking about doing anything with her, you might as well forget it, she's even more accurate than I am. So, but I do feel that everybody should be armed. And it is your social responsibility to do so. I think, if you look on my website, Thomas Jefferson said it very well, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God, and I thoroughly believe that. If you go through our website a little bit deeper, there's a, there's a page, just talking a little bit about, what we believe, as a ministry. The faith that we recognize is the Orthodox Christian faith. The church that I am attached to is the, Syrian, Martoma Church. I was chrismated into that church by a gentleman named Bishop Ash. Bishop Ash is a Syrian Orthodox bishop who has what a lot of pastors and preachers don't have, which is something called apostolic succession. Now, apostolic succession basically is the laying on of hands that you can trace all the way back to Jesus Christ himself. Bishop Veron Ash, actually, he has a little scroll that he keeps with him that has the names of all the bishops before him, and you can trace every bishop all the way back to Jesus Christ himself, Father Thomas or the Apostle Thomas, who started the Orthodox Church in Syria, was one of the disciples of Christ, and he built the church, and he went out and he ordained bishops in the church, and those bishops ordained other bishops. And in the Bible it talks about Jesus laying hands on the 12 disciples and breathing the Holy Ghost into them, and they basically did the same thing. And there's a succession of people, a succession of bishops all through the church that you can trace all the way from today back to Jesus himself. And these are the people that I believe have the divine inspiration of God. I'm not negating any other pastors or preachers. All I'm saying is that I believe it's an important part of the church that has been thrown out with the bathwater. Basically, there's a lot of things, a lot of traditions in the church that have been, especially in today's modern church, that have been thrown out that are missing today, that I think that really define what the church is all about. Now, if you look on our website under what we believe, you'll see there's the Nicene Metropolitan Creed is there, and the creed is basically the foundation of the church. I mean, most churches you go to, whether it be a Catholic church, Orthodox church, even a lot of the more modern or Protestant churches today recite this creed or some version thereof. And if you look at this creed, it basically just says that we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, so on, so on. And it talks about believing in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, the word Catholic just means universal. If you look that word up, the word Catholic means universal. And it is just referring to the church belonging to everybody. The church does not belong to you and me. It belongs to God. And we don't really have the right as pastors or laymen or people in the church to tell anybody who can come and go in the church. I mean, it's God's church. You know, if we honor and respect Him, then we will honor and respect the people that He brings in for us to minister to. So, in the creed there, when it talks about believing in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that's basically what it's referring to, is that the church is universal for all people. And at the end of the page there, there's a little saying there that is actually the Latin, and I'm not real good at pronouncing this, but it's Veritas Parit Odium, which if you translate that, it means truth begets hatred. So just like when Jesus went around ministering, speaking truth to people, he received a lot of hatred from people because a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. You know, they'd rather sit in front of the TV and, you know, watch the next show that's coming on and just soak up the lies that they're fed. But when the truth is presented to them, you know, they don't want to hear it. And, you know, I myself have had a lot of people tell me, just, you know, get away. I don't want to hear what you're saying because, you know, the truth can be scary. The truth can hurt sometimes, you know, and a lot of us rather live in la-la land, I think, than face the truth at times. So that's what that is all about there. Now, looking at the website a little bit farther, you know, we got some pictures on there of myself and my wife and our kids. There is also an area where you can actually go on. It's called Talk to Us, and you can go on this Talk to Us page, and you can you can post a little short message there and a photo of yourself if you like. And if you get a chance, please do that. You know, we'd like to hear from you and like to see who's listening to us out there. Also, one of the other pages here right below that, I have called it the Hard Truth Soldiers. And if you go to that page, there's just, some people there that have really strongly impacted my life. And these are all people who live, what I call living outside the matrix. These people have the divine nature of Christ within them. And I hold these people very dear, and I'm indebted to many of them. The first person on that page is the prophet Mark Marshall, who currently resides in Michigan. I met Mark years ago. He had moved up from Oklahoma to Detroit, and I was just in his service there, helping him plant a church up there that, again, was attached to the Orthodox Church. Our bishop, Bishop Ash, and we planted a work there, and both were involved in that work for quite some time. We did a radio show up in Detroit as well that was fairly successful, and there was just a great bunch of people up there, Dave and Bonnie Thomas. I mean, just some of the people that I worked with up there in the Detroit area are just phenomenal. And Mark, he is... he travels the country preaching. He does all different types of preaching seminars. Goes and visits different churches. And you know, the thing I really like about Mark is that he has a strong divine nature calling. Mark is just one of those guys who is always looking to help people. He's not in it, you know, for himself or what he can get out of it. He is truly a man of God that's there to try to uplift and help build other ministries and help other preachers become successful in the work that God has given them. So, Mark is a true true believer and patriot, and I just really, really cherish the time that he and I have spent together. Also on that page, you'll see a little blurb there about Bishop Ash. If you'd actually like to see him in action, there's a link there on that page that you can click and go and watch some of his preaching. Excuse me. He's just a phenomenal, phenomenal man. God has so richly blessed him. And just the revelation that flows out of this guy is unbelievable. You just, if you get a chance, take 5 or 10 minutes and just listen to what he's got to say, because I have never met anybody more experienced in Bible teaching the teaching of God's Word other than Bishop Ash. So if you get a chance, you will be really blessed if you check that out. There's also a link there to Dave and Joyce on the Power Hour. Dave and Joyce Riley, they do a radio show that is just phenomenal that I listen to almost on a daily basis. And also the Alex Jones Show, if you go to Infowars.com. Alex was very instrumental in waking me up about 12 years ago. I first started listening to Alex when he came on the radio years ago. And I'll tell you, when it comes to Hard Truth Soldiers, he's about as hard as they come. But, he really puts it in your face. And you cannot deny the truth that this man speaks. And, documents pretty much everything that he talks about. And that's what I like about him, is that he doesn't just throw things out there and hope you believe it. He actually backs it up with physical evidence. And he's made some phenomenal films. And I highly recommend that you check out his website at Infowars.com. He's just unbelievable. And, I would say he's the number one patriot in this country, heading up the fight against the New World Order and trying to bring these demons that have taken control of the world. He's the main resistant characters that I feel will bring these guys down. So if you get a chance, check out his website. There's also a link there to one of my favorite musicians, one of my favorite rap artists. I listen to a lot of different music. I'm big and heavy into rock and roll. I'm a guitarist myself. I play bass guitar. Worked a lot on different worship teams in the church, playing all different types of music. And the thing I like about Paris is that, again, he really speaks the truth in his lyrics. He doesn't pull any punches, and he just lets everybody know exactly where he's coming from and what he thinks about these demons that are attacking us, so... his website is GorillaFunk.com. There's a link to his website on my website. If you get a chance, please check it out. He's got great music. It's a little bit over the edge for some people. If you don't like cussing and swearing, you probably won't like it. But, I don't think God has a problem with that. I think people have a problem with that. I believe there's a scripture that says, to the pure, all things are pure. It was Paul that said this. To the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. In other words, it's all in your mind. What you see as pure and what you see as defiled is more your issue than it is God's issue. I can remember a time when, our bishop was telling us a story about one of the ancient church fathers who was, walking through the middle of town, and following right behind him, there was about 10 of his disciples, 10 of the priests of the church that were following him. And they're all walking along, and all of a sudden a naked woman came running by. And she was just, trotting herself right through the middle of town. And she came up within view of all these priests, and, the father was out front, and the guys, saw this woman coming. So all the priests went ahead and covered their eyes and hid their heads so they wouldn't have to look at this naked woman running by. And the father was standing out front, and he just, stood there with his wife, eyes wide open, and watched this naked lady run by. And as she ran by, he just watched her go. And as she passed and was out of the picture, all the other priests, they took their hands down away from their eyes, and they looked at the father and said, "Father, how could you do such a thing? How could you look at this naked woman running through the middle of town and, not cover your eyes and just, check her out the way you did?" And, he looked at them and said, "Naked woman? I saw no naked woman. All I saw was the glory of God." So you see, in his mind, he was viewing the woman from a totally different point of view than the rest of the other priests that were following behind him. See, the priests that were behind him, their minds were defiled. They thought what they were looking at was something, something bad or something nasty. When the father saw this woman, he viewed her as something beautiful and a wonderful creation of God. So it all depends on how you look at things, and that's why I don't have a problem listening to rap music. I don't have a problem, talking to people who have filthy mouths, because you can't defile me. I'm a son of God. And God has washed me in His blood. And you hear all these pastors preaching all the time about guarding your different areas of your, I guess it's called the six areas of intake or whatever, where you got to guard everything because the devil could slip in anywhere through your eyes, through your ears. And I think that's just a bunch of hooey. The devil doesn't slip into me anywhere I don't let him. So, although he does slip in sometimes, but I just think that, it's a lot more in your mind than people make it out to be. So anyway, check out GorillaFunk.com. If you go a little further on our website, there's a button there where you can contact us and email us directly, and I'd like to hear from some of you guys out there. Also, there's a button on here that says, please help support us. We do need your help. We can't do everything alone. We do want to take our gospel message of Jesus and this wake-up call, to the people in the streets. There's a lot of different ways you can help. You can, donate funds to us. We would really appreciate that. Also, if there's anybody out there in the Mooresville area, we're trying to find a small facility to meet in. I guess we could meet in my home for a while. That's not a problem, but I want to start doing some small church services here in the area. I'd like to get Mark Marshall involved in that as well. If we can get some people together to start meeting on a weekly basis. And also, I'd like to get people together to come together to view some of the different films that I have concerning the New World Order and a lot of things that are happening out there. So if any of you have an interest in doing that or would like to help me do that and put a group of people together and start meeting every week, please contact me. You can email me through my website, and I'd like to talk to you about that. So also, we do have a couple of businesses that Joy and I run and support. There are links on that page also. One of the businesses is a company called Five Links. Five Links is just an awesome voice over IP phone company that we are involved in. And actually, you're listening to me right now on one of the video phones. These video phones are just truly amazing. For $25 a month, you can talk anywhere in the world, unlimited, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have 3 of these phones. I have one set up in the Philippines at my wife's mother's house. We've got one that I take on the road with me when I travel, and I also have one set up here at the house. And they're just phenomenal. You can call. You don't need a computer or anything. You just plug it into an internet connection. They even will work wirelessly. The new phones have a built-in web browser, which is really awesome. So not only can you talk to people and see them, but you can also surf websites as well on the phone. It's a little small compact phone. It's got a 5-inch LCD screen in it. It's got the camera built right in. And it's really great for older people because, what I've found is a lot of older people are not very savvy at managing computers. They just aren't good at it. So for the older folks that still want to be able to use a VoIP service and also, have the ease of just dialing a telephone and then seeing somebody, it's great for them. But also, if you travel a lot too, it's really good. If you go to foreign countries or travel the states a lot, it's a good way to see your kids at night. You know, I do that when I travel. I call home and I'm able to see the kids and say hi to my wife and everything. So just a great phone. And also, you don't even have to have the video phone. They also offer a little DTA box that you can plug in. It'll put a dial tone throughout your whole house. And what's really nice about that is, you know, again, for the same $25 a month, this is similar to Vonage. Some of you probably have heard of Vonage, but this company just blows Vonage out of the water. You just don't have the problems with it that a lot of the Vonage customers have, because this company has actually built their entire system from the ground up, and they built it as a business class system because we also service a lot of business customers through this company as well. So it's really good for business use and just save businesses a ton of money. If you know a business owner out there that's spending a lot on his phone service, have him contact me because this is the way to go. I mean, it'll save them probably 50 to 70% on their monthly phone bill. So it's just an awesome service, and we've been using it for over a year now and have had no problems with it and just love it. And it saved us hundreds of dollars in international calls. So, also on our website, you'll notice another company on there called One Group. One Group is a company that I discovered back in 2003. They're a company out of Australia. And this company, they manufacture some of the only organic, certified organic, products for personal care and health care that are available out there. They make all kinds of body care items, soaps, and lotions for your skin. They have a full line of baby products for your baby's butt and that type of thing. So, but what's nice about their products is that they are certified organic in multiple countries. They are USDA certified here organic in the States, but also they have the BOFA certification, and they are also certified in Australia. And what's nice about their products is that they won't harm you. You know, the biggest organ that your body has is your skin. Anything you put on your skin ultimately enters into your bloodstream. So the good thing to know about these products is that they are all completely made from organic or natural products. And this company doesn't just use those words lightly. They live by these words. And you really should go to my website there and check these products out. They're a little pricey, a little more expensive than probably what you're used to paying for the poison that you get off the shelf at Kmart or Walgreens. But these products will not shorten your lifespan the way a lot of these hazardous chemical products that you're probably using now will. This is just really the way to go. These products actually, being certified the way they are organic, they are edible products. They're certified to food grade standards. So when was the last time you used a shampoo or a body lotion or a shower gel that you could actually eat and it wouldn't harm you? I dare you to try that with the one you're using now. But these are certified to food grade standards, and you can actually eat these products, although they probably won't taste good, because they are made for cleaning, and they also have a full line of home cleaning products and just some great stuff. But I really would stress that you get all these toxic chemicals out of your home, especially if you have children. If you don't care about yourself, at least care about your kids and get these toxic chemicals out of your home. Things with bleach in them, things with all the parabens that everybody is putting on their skin that causes all types of cancers and things like that. So when you get a chance, check out One Group. There's a link to my website on my Matrix Ministries website. And, all I'm asking you to do is buy these products, and by doing so, not only will they help you and your family and, end up saving you money in the long run, but it will also help us out, help our ministry out to bring this message forward. So the one last thing here on my website is called IOTC, and what that is a class that I offer to groups of people. It's offered through what's called the Institute on the Constitution. It's a 12-week course that I offer, and I offer it to anybody here in the local North Carolina area. And basically what it is, it's a class on the United States Constitution. There's 12 lectures that I put all my students through, which are actually done by Don Edsmore, who is a college law professor, and he actually does the 12 half-hour segments teaching about the Constitution, and he does it all from a biblical viewpoint as well, which is really interesting. And then I host the whole program, and each session is about 2 hours long, so if there's anybody out there that really wants to learn more about the United States Constitution, or if you have problems, you know, answering your family members or your children when they ask you questions about the Constitution, then this is something you really need to be involved in. And I'd be happy to do this for any church groups that might be out there listening, or any other, you know, types of groups, any veterans groups, you know, any type of clubs, you know, gun clubs, anything like that. I'd be happy to put that together with you. So please contact me and send me an email through the website. Okay, now, I just wanted to switch gears here a little bit. I've got a ton of news to cover, and I don't think I'm going to have time to even get into hardly any of it, but real quick, since we are not only a patriotic group here, we are also a Jesus ministry as well. I just wanted to take a couple minutes here and try to explain, because you know, before you can understand what's happening out there in the world and get a strong grasp on what the New World Order is doing to dramatically change our lives and, you know, take your country over and destroy your way of life right now, before you can really grasp that, I think you have to have a firm grasp and understanding of, you know, how God fits into this picture. You know, the first thing, when we talk about God, the first thing that anybody that comes to God has to understand is, you know, what qualifies God to be God? I mean, you know, what makes him what he is? What is God, you know? You know, the first thing you do is you have to understand who God is. And, you know, when you study the Bible, one of the first things you will discover, and, you know, you don't even have to necessarily study the Bible to understand this, but God is in charge of all things. You know, he's the creator of all things. He's in charge of all things. So understanding that is probably about 90% of the battle. If you can just grasp that little piece of truth there and hold on to that and understand that alone, that God is in charge of all things, you know, primarily, you won't have any problem understanding anything else. But what happens is that, you know, we go to churches and we are taught, basically we're taught lies, I'll say it like it is. We are taught by pastors and ministers who just take the truth of other men and just rehash it and pass on the same lies that they were taught, and they don't ever bother to invest the time to study or research and find out what the real truth is, because, you know, most pastors I listen to most of the time, especially the modern churches, none of these guys have ever studied the ancient church or even talk about the ancient church. It's almost like there's been a huge divide between, you know, what happened 2,000 years ago and what's happening today. They've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, and there's a lot of these ancient teachings that were taught in the church that are not being taught today, and people just don't have a grasp of who God is. And when you lose that revelation of who God is, then you can't really understand everything else. So I'm just going to go through a few scriptures tonight and kind of enlighten you a little bit, hopefully, reveal some things to you to help you understand a little bit more about who God is. You know, the first thing you have to understand, like I said, is that God is in charge of all things. There's nothing made that was made that He did not make. He also, you know, created good and evil. You have to understand this before you can understand anything else. Now, I know people have a hard time swallowing that, you know, God could have anything to do with evil. But when you understand that God's in charge of all things, you also have to understand that He's in charge of evil as well as good. Now, you know, there are those out there that will tell you that, you know, God is only good. He's only connected to good. And anything, you know, if there's anything other than good happening in your life, then it's not God. Well, you know, taking that viewpoint, then basically what you're telling me is that there's another creator other than God that is doing all the evil things. And that's kind of what's happened in the church. You know, the church has got this mentality that there's a battle going on. And this battle is going on between good and evil, or I should say Satan and God. That's not really what the Bible teaches. The Bible, you know, doesn't teach that that Satan is warring against God. The Bible teaches that there's a war going on, and there has been a war going on since the beginning of time, but it's not the war you're thinking of. It's not a war between God and Satan. Let's look at a few scriptures on this just so you can understand where I'm coming from. If you look at going to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Let's just read this real quick and see what it says here. Hosea 6, 1 through 3, it says, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up." So there in Hosea, it's telling us it is the Lord who has torn and smitten. And He's also the same one that will bind us up and heal us as well. So, you know, right there in Hosea, it's showing you that God is working both sides, you know, that He is the one that destroys us, and He's also the one that brings us back. So you need to look at some of these scriptures. If we go to the book of Psalms, let's take a look at Psalms here and see what Moses had to say in the book of Psalms here. We know David wrote a lot of this, but this was actually part of Moses' writing here. It says that in Psalms 90, verse 3, it says, and actually if you read verse 91 and 2, you can see that Moses is talking about the Lord here. It says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." But now if you go into verse 3, it says, "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men." Thou turnest men to destruction. So it is God that turns men to destruction. It says here, the Lord turneth men to destruction, but then turns around and tells you to come back and return, children of men. So there's another verse showing us that, you know, God is, again, the one that tearing us apart, but then He puts us back together. If you look at the book of Job, I mean, really, if you read the book of Job, and you know, it's very easy to see what's happening in the book of Job. I mean, that alone should tell you that God's in charge of all things. You know, but I hear people all the time saying that, hey, if something bad's happening in your life, or, you know, if there's something wrong going on in your life, then, you know, you must be out of the will of God, or, you know, you're not following God's will, this type of thing. Well, when you read scriptures like this in the book of Job, you know, how can you say that? I mean, you know, if you listen to what it says, it's pretty easy to see that, you know, you can't be out of God's will. Let's take a look at Job here in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now let me read that again. You know, I'm not making this up. Just listen to what it says. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now what was Satan doing there? Why did he show up at a meeting with God and the sons of God? What was he doing there? Well, if you read the rest of this chapter, you can see it's very obvious that he was there getting his instructions from God, just like the sons of God were, you know. What you have to understand about Satan was he's a created being. God created him to be the waster to destroy. He was created to do a job, and he works for God. He's not a, you know, he's not at war with God. He's not trying to defeat God. How could he defeat God? You know, if Satan could defeat God, then God's not God, right? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, and there's a you know, there's a lot of deep teaching on this whole subject, you know, that I believe in the church is false. I mean, if you study the ancient church and the ancient teachings of what the early fathers of the church and the disciples of the church taught about Satan, it's completely out of line with what's being taught today in the church, or most churches, I should say. If you follow one of the ancient churches, like the Orthodox Church, you'll get a lot more truth, I believe, because most of those teachings are the same teachings that were taught in the ancient days. But most of the new churches that I visit today, they just don't seem to grasp what, you know, what the ancient church has taught. Now, you can see there that you know, Satan is not warring against God, that he's actually there to get instructions from God about. And God, you know, turns around, turns him on to Job, and says, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" And then, of course, you know, Satan says, "Well, yeah, you're protecting him, but," and then, you know, God says, "No, you know, go ahead, you can have your way with him, just don't kill him." You know, so there it just shows you that God's in charge of the whole situation. You know, and there's many scriptures that I can show you that point to the same thing. Now, you know, when you come to the understanding of who Satan really is, if, you know, if you look at the ancient church, many of the ancient church fathers, a lot of the priests and bishops in the ancient church were actually named Lucifer. You know, so there's a big, big misunderstanding as to Lucifer actually being Satan. Why would the church fathers name their, you know, their priest Lucifer if it, you know, really meant what we were taught today that it meant? So it just doesn't make any sense. Also, you know, we're going to look here real quick too at Romans 9. Verse 21, it says here, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor?" Okay? It says there that, you know, basically God's in control. He's the potter. We're the clay. Now he makes one person to honor him, and he makes another person to dishonor him. Now, why would he do that? Well, let's read a little more in that verse here. Let me find it real quick. I just wrote some notes here. So if we go to 9, if you read 9:22, this is pretty interesting because this verse will just boil you right out of the water. I mean, what do you do with a verse like this that says these things? Will you just rip it out of the Bible and forget it's there? Check this out. Okay, now we just read verse 21, but let's check out verse 22. It says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" What if God is willing to show that he's not always good? You know, that's what it's saying there. It says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath. Why would he endure the vessels of wrath that he created? Because he created them. You know, so if you really look at this stuff and have a fairly basic understanding of English and pull your Strong's Concordance out once in a while, you know, a lot of what's being taught in the churches doesn't make sense today, but now that verse there in Romans, you know, it talks about God making one vessel for destruction and, or for honor and one for dishonor. Now, my question to you is, you know, what kind of vessel has he made you? Has he made you a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? And see, you can love people, I think, a lot better once you understand it's God in control and God is the one that's making people do these things and it's not Satan. Satan, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Satan is just a chump. You know, he works for God and he does what God tells him to do. And that's very evident in the Bible. And I would like somebody to show me, you know, verses that are to the contrary. Now, I know, you know, a lot of people have been taught that it was actually Satan that fell from heaven, but, you know, you really got to study that. And I'll just leave that at there. We're getting close to the end of our show here. But once you understand these things and get a little bit of a grasp of who God is and what he's in charge of, this will help you to stand up and be the man or woman that God has called you to be so that you can stand up against the evil that's going on in the world and not be so afraid of it. You know, once you understand that it's God that's in control, and that you're not battling some demonic force that is trying to win against God, then you can more easily stand up and do what you're called to do. And I think that, you know, more of us have to stand up and speak out and be speakers of truth. Too many of us today are cowering in front of the television set you know, just really trying to stay away from the bad news that's going on. But we need to face these things. You know, we need to stand up and be the type of people that God would be proud of. And hopefully he's made you one to honor him. Now, that being said, let me get into a couple news stories here, you know, real quick. Just so we can kind of see what's been happening this week. And again, you know, take this from the viewpoint that God's in control of all of it. You know, there's a reason all this is going on, but at the same time, you know, it can be swayed. We don't have to stand for this evil that's going on. We don't have to stand for this, New World Order, oppression that's happening all across the world. You know, as free people, we should be able to stand up, you know, like our forefathers did hundreds of years ago and put an end to all this foolishness and nonsense that is going on in our government. Myself, personally, I'm sick and tired of it. You know, we need to get together. We need to take action. Of course, you know, nonviolent action is always the best. And let's just hope we can keep it to that point. But, you know, there may come a day when we can't. But when you read all the news stories of what's happening in our country today, it's almost, you know, completely impossible just to sit back and do nothing. So if you're one of those that's sitting out there doing nothing, I would really encourage you to stand up. Stand up, make your voice heard, and get together with other patriots in your area. Get together with other people that think like you and are tired of what they see going on as well. Let me just highlight a couple of these stories here that I pulled out. I got a stack of news stories here, an inch and a half thick on my desk. And, man, I could just talk for hours on these things. Okay, listen to this one. This is a global economic trend analysis. This was from December 4th. prepare for depression-level unemployment. It says that deflation has already set in, and it's now realistic to start talking about another D word, this one being depression. Before we can use a word, we must define it. For the sake of argument, let's define depression as unemployment of 10% or greater. Now, 10% or greater, I think we've already passed that point. I mean, if you look at the government figures that they're throwing out there today, they say it's about 6.5% to 7.5%. But their numbers are always skewed because they never count everybody. You know, you got to at least double that figure because they don't count the people that are no longer collecting unemployment benefits. Folks, there's all kinds of people being thrown out of work every day. Hundreds of thousands of people on a monthly basis in this country. So prepare for depression-level unemployment, it says here. I think it's going to get, you know, a lot worse here. ADP says U.S. companies cut 250,000 jobs in November. Now, there's another story here that came in with the final figures. And this is from the Associated Press. Employers cut 533,000 jobs in November. Says the most in 34 years. Now, when we have this kind of job loss going on, you know, this is going to be a trickle-down effect. I mean, and this is all happening before the holidays even hit. And, you know, you just got to kind of envision what's going to happen here. I heard another story today where they were saying that it's probably going to be a higher figure than that 533,000 in December. So get ready for everything to hit the fan here. Here's another story that I pulled off of Yahoo. This, again, is from the Associated Press. Bank of America plans up to $35,000 job cuts in the next 3 years. Okay, now I was watching the story here. I live in Charlotte, which is, well, I'm just outside of Charlotte, but that's the home of the Bank of America. And, you know, they were saying here on the news the other night that this is going to dramatically affect the Charlotte area as well, because a lot of these 35,000 will be cut here in this area. You know, we know that Wachovia just took a big hit, Wells Fargo. This is happening all over the place. So there's another one. Bank of America cut 35,000 jobs here. Here's another one. Unemployment claims surge unexpectedly. Well, no kidding. I don't even want to talk about that one. Here's another one. Again, Associated Press. Employers are shedding jobs as the recession deepens. Okay? So what's God doing here with all this? You know, we know that as followers of Christ, we are supposed to fellowship in his suffering. Well, I think that's what's going to be happening here pretty soon. But just, you know, get ready for bad times, folks. If you listen to the experts are saying that, within the next year or so, we could see Mad Max Road Warrior scenarios going on. So get ready for that. There's a story here from Forbes about the America's fastest dying towns. It's all about real estate and what's been happening and some of the different small towns that are dying all over the country. It says their number one town that they've seen is a town called Bensonville, which is up in Illinois. And the incomes there have dropped throughout the entire town. It says 11.4%, and that's without accounting for inflation. Now you couple that with the inflation, you know, the dollar that's crashing, and oh my gosh, you know, our incomes are going down dramatically, and the dollars that we do have that we're able to spend, that are not being, ripped off from us by the federal government in the form of taxes, those dollars that we have left, you know, are buying less and less. You know, what are we to do? I mean, you know, there's stories here about, you know, riots already starting to happen in the street. There's a great article here that says, GOP senator warns of riots if automakers are bailed out. Now, this one really makes me mad because, you know, the bankers that we've just given this bailout to, according to, if you read, you know, the Bloomberg news reports, has already topped over $8.5 trillion that they've taken of our money. Oh yeah, I know they tell you, you know, on the news it's only $800 billion, but, it's actually, a lot more than that, and it's gonna pass, looks like about every week they're taking about, $1.3 trillion or so, and a lot of this money they're not telling us where it's going, you know, they're just, using it wherever they want to. They're buying, they just bought a Chinese bank with it last month. I mean, the money's not being spent the way they told us it was going to be spent on the people. And this is one of the other concerns that is, you know, helping to deflate the dollar. So what I'm going to do now, so the end of my show, I'd like to thank you all for listening, those of you that are out there tonight listening. Next week I'm going to get in deeper into some of these news stories, talk more about the economy, about the banker, you know, banker bailouts, and just more of the news that's going on. I just really wanted to, you know, kind of give a good, well, not a real strong foundation, but somewhat of a foundation so you can understand where I'm coming from, you know, when I look at the viewpoint of, you know, God being in charge of all these things. You have to understand that, I think, before you can understand anything else that's going on. So, anyway, everybody, be blessed. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week, and hopefully I'll have some guests with me. And everybody, get prepared for the holidays, and I hope you have a good one. I'll see you next week. I'm out of here.